I would have been just as happy and thankful to have been able to sit down there and hear what I heard last night all through this conference. It's been a special blessing to my heart. I was looking forward to preaching a message on the church. And last night, I believe it was Brother Connor, I told after the service, I know what the Lord wanted me to preach about this morning. So I want to ask you to look in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Peter, if you will. We thank Brother Titus and Home Baptist Church for this privilege and honor and blessing to not only be here to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to have this great privilege to try to bring a message from the Word of God. I guess as we all did last night, I got a special blessing from those messages. If you weren't here last night, let me just say this, you really missed something. It was a great time in the Lord. Bless my heart. So as we look in the Word of God, there's a word that seems to stand out in the writings of the Apostle Peter that I want to try to bring to your attention. We begin reading, first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and read a few verses of Scripture, where he said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." I want you to notice how many times the Spirit of God laid upon Peter's heart to write that word precious. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house in holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect." There it is again, precious. "And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Now, that's the title what I want to try to bring this morning. But I want to show you a couple more places where he uses that word. But notice he said, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." I believe today, I don't get this one thing that I have here in my heart, for all that Jesus Christ has done for me, he's precious to me. He's precious to me. I hear you preachers, and if I could just preach to you today what I felt when I was shaving this morning, I'd be able to get this thing out to where I'd like to. But I've heard some of you over the years say that you were just an old country boy and the Lord saved you. And I think that's a great and a marvelous blessing to you. He's precious. But he saved me off the streets of the city when I was headed in the wrong direction. And I'll tell you something today, he's precious to me.
Amen.
He means a whole lot to me.
Amen.
"So unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." I will just read verse 9 and we'll move on to a couple more places. It said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." I believe that means a priesthood of believer. Believe that what you want about that, but as I say, I believe that. And holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, as we're there in our Bibles, there's something else that was precious. And that's what redeemed me from my sins. That which he used to buy me back and reconcile me unto God, that I might have communion or fellowship. And because of what he's done, I can therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that I might find grace to help in time of need. So as I look at this, I find in the Word of God then that for as much as ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Second Peter then, we go back over to Chapter 1 and verse 4, or beginning in verse 1, we'll read the first four verses. But as a result of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and as a result of being made a recipient of the grace of God, beloved, because of what we can read here in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, you see, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, as a result of having like precious faith and having been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, we therefore as believers in him, to us he is precious, you see. And as a result of having this like precious faith, we go further in this passage of Scripture till we get to verse 4, because as a result of this, we have some precious promises according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And friend, I say to you today, if I don't get to say it any later or any further in the message, well, it's on my mind and on my heart. Let me say that every precious promise that the God of the Bible has made to us, he will keep. And we have been made recipients of those promises. We are receiving those promises. And as we go throughout eternity, we will be made conscious of the promises of God. So we look in God's Word and we say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power, you see, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I tried to preach this last Sunday in our church and had to come back with it Sunday night because I wanted to preach about the promises. But let me just say this. We may say something about it at the end. The promises that we have is that he will redeem us if we'll repent of our sins and believe in our heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll follow him and submit ourselves and unite with his kind of church, local, visible, I believe is a missionary Baptist church. He promised that his kind of assemblies would have perpetuity. That's a promise of God. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a precious promise to me. It's a precious promise that God has given us in his Word, that no man is able to pluck us out of his Father's hand. That's precious, friend. We have eternal life. Everlasting life. And that means something today. It's precious to me. There's so many of them that we started just writing them down and tried to bring them to our church last Sunday night. But friend, any place you look in the Word of God, and God means what he says and he makes a promise to you, it ought to be precious to you. So as we look at this and we see again, got to thinking on the way up here, even the trial of our faith is precious, isn't it? He said that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So even that in itself is precious, you see. And so as we look into this thought today and see these precious things that God has contained for us, basically, as the Lord, I believe, has led in the thought and right from the very outset of the conference, I believe that I want to try to bring you a message unto you that believe He is precious. I'll go back over in the book of Deuteronomy just for a moment in chapter 33 and verse 13. We see that before Moses went on to be with the Lord, he pronounced a blessing upon the tribes. But when he got, beloved, to the tribe of Joseph, he pronounced some precious things upon them. Deuteronomy 13, or 33 and verse 13, he said this. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven. There's some precious things up there, you know. And it means something, friend, you see. And for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun and for the precious things put forth by the moon and for the chief things of the ancient mountains and for the precious things of the lasting hills and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Now the blessings that Moses, beloved, pronounced upon the tribe of Joseph that he considered precious, if you will, I believe fall far short of the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ today. See, the blessings that he pronounced upon them were temporal blessings. What you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have today are eternal blessings. If you get nothing else than this, then look in, for example, in the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe the third chapter, the Bible tells us that which God does, He does forever. These are eternal blessings. You see, and so they will not perish or pass away. And as a result of them, they are precious blessings. You see. And so as we see this, these blessings that he talks about are spiritual blessings. They're what we might consider soul-filling blessings. Because you can have the blessings of the world today. You might have wealth and riches untold. You can have all that you in your flesh may want to gather. It'll only satisfy your flesh for just a season. But I'm saying the precious blessings that God bestows upon us by His marvelous, amazing grace are precious because they're eternal.
Amen.
They mean something. They're special, if you please. And you can't lose what God has done. And so as we look at it today, we want to think about one word. I went through this and looked at the Greek, and I'm not a scholar either, brother, but and I may not even pronounce it from the Greek when it's translated to the English letters. But the text that we're using, unto you which believe he is precious, we looked it up in our concordance, and the Greek word there is time. And I don't know if this means much to you, but I find it interesting, and I get a blessing to find out what the word means. The word time means this: money paid, valuables, esteem, or the dignity itself, honor, precious, price. And brethren, he paid a price.
Amen.
And unto you which believe, he is precious.
Amen.
Mr. Webster said this about the word precious. He said, of great price or value, costly as a precious stone, highly esteemed or loved, dear. Dear, is he not to be highly esteemed today? Is he not to be loved today? Isn't he, my friend, then of something of value to us today? Isn't he dear to us today? Isn't he precious to us today?
Amen.
Unto you which believe, he is precious.
Amen.
And so as we think about the one who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, who one day the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, we want to think about this for a moment or two. He's precious because we believe in him. You see, and I wish today, I think about this, and I just wish I could do him justice. But go with me in your Bibles to John, the first chapter, if you will, please. I believe he's first of all precious because he's essentially precious because of who he is. We must have an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. My Savior today is not a meek and lowly Savior anymore. He has finished the work, my friend. He has satisfied the justice of God. He has made the sacrifice. He has made the atonement. And friend, today, as being made recipients of his grace, the Bible said that we have a special blessing, because God himself will not impute sin to our charge. As having received him as our Savior, he has imputed the righteousness of the one who is precious to our account.
Amen.
So, if you've been made a recipient of his grace, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend, today, and have been made to realize what you were apart from Jesus Christ, have been made to recognize who we were without him, have been made to realize that we were sinners lost and on the road to a devil's hell, and if we died in that condition and had gone out into eternity in that condition, that we had gone to a devil's hell, and then God in his grace and God in his mercy had someone in mind and in heart and sent that person down to this world to deliver the gospel to us, and we have been saved by his grace, having heard the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. I'm saying to you today, if you have that kind of salvation, Jesus Christ is precious.
Amen.
And I believe, as I said, that God had a person in mind that brought the gospel to me. That God in his mercy and loving kindness has sent him to deliver through the message of God deliverance from sin, deliverance from the bondage of sin.
Amen.
And friend, when you've been made to realize this, Jesus Christ becomes precious.
Amen.
He means something.
Amen.
He's special. The Bible said that he's God of very God, that he's co-eternal with God. The Bible tells us, in fact, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know about you, but when God saved my soul, I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ died for me.
Amen.
I believe that. I'll never forget that.
Amen.
That's 1957. The years roll by and it's getting to be a long way back. And I think about this 28 years ago. My math is correct. Just the other day when we talk about this, and I sat in these conferences for years and sat around and heard the men of God proclaim the truths of God's Word and preach about Jesus Christ, who is precious to us. Here, Brother Jones and I had been sitting and sitting and sitting for years hearing these messages, and you preachers used to stand up and say, you young preachers, brother, we're not young anymore.
Amen.
But Jesus is still precious.
Amen.
Wait a minute.
Amen.
So as we think about this, we look again in the Word of God to chapter 10. I'm saying he's precious because of who he is. In chapter 10 and in verse 30, we read that beautiful passage of Scripture that means so much. When he says that, it's something that blesses my heart, and I know that when God gives us a message and we present the message, that the sheep are going to get the message. And we believe that. And so as we read through that passage of Scripture, and he says these words, that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And then he teaches, as we made reference to a moment ago, He gives unto them eternal life, and that no man is able to pluck us, that is, as believers, out of the Father's hand, because the Father which gave us to Jesus Christ is greater than all. And then he turns around and he said, I and the Father are one. I'm saying he's precious because of who he is. It's God in the flesh. He left glory. He came down to this old wicked, sin-filled world with one purpose in mind, to seek and to save that which was lost. Came for that reason. He came to die that you and I might live. You see? He came to give us life. You see? And his very nature himself, of himself, makes him remarkably precious, if you will. He lived 33 and a half years, brethren, sisters in Christ today, without even a very taint of sin upon him. I can't say that today. The Bible describes you and I, all of us, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible said about the one who is precious to us that he was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Never sinned. Never committed a sin. Hardly a day goes by that we don't sin. In sins of omission or sins of commission, we sin. You see, but my precious Savior never sinned. That in itself makes him precious, doesn't it? You see. See, as we see him as God and man together, the Bible said that he was the God-man. And we see him as God and man together as the connecting link between fallen man and a holy, just, and righteous God. Then we understand, friend, that he is precious to us, because without him, we'd all die and spend eternity in hell, and rightly so. I say then, to you who believe, he's precious. You see, Christ is so precious, my friend, today, that he can't be bought. You can sell all that you have.
Amen.
Sell your house, sell your car, sell everything that you have. Brother Clark could sell some dogs. We could sell some other things and get some money together. But with all that we could gather and all the money that we could have, he cannot be bought. And yet the very depraved nature of man is seeking to appease God and earn their way into heaven, and it can't be done.
Amen.
Jesus cannot be bought.
Amen.
Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, and he washed as white as snow.
Amen.
I'm saying, friend, today, he is precious today. It was by his grace, his unmerited favor. There was no good in me. There was nothing that I deserved. But he, in his grace and his mercy, saved us.
Amen.
He's precious.
Amen.
He cannot be priced. You can't put a price tag on him. The other day I was watching a program. They had this public television program down there. And they have an auction every year. And they auction off some things to raise some money to support public television. So-called educational television. It was interesting. They brought up a couple of things that people donated to be auctioned off during this auction. And they said, there's no price in this. It's priceless. And I got to thinking, you know what? They're wrong. There's a price that'll buy it. But there's nothing that can buy Jesus. He's priceless. He can't be priced. He's God's unspeakable gift. So as the brother said last night, that God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish and have everlasting life. You see, he's priceless. No matter what you go through, friend, let me say this. No matter what you go through in this life, serving Jesus Christ, it'll be worth it all when you stand before him and see him face to face. And we have the promise.
Amen.
And that promise is precious, that we one day shall see him. And we shall see him as he is. And we're going to be, as we heard last night, just like him.
Amen.
He's precious. I'll tell you something else. Go with me to Hebrews, please, chapter 1 and verse 3. Jesus Christ is so precious that he cannot be matched. There's nothing, friend, nothing in this world that can compare to him. Nothing. Notice what he said here. Talking about Jesus, the precious one. He said, who being the brightness of his glory, his glory, the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, in upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself. Notice that. I don't know if you mark your Bible or not. I like to mark a Bible. I marked that verse is marked yellow, but the thing I'm trying to say is by himself.
Amen.
He by himself purged our sins.
Amen.
Let us never forget today, friend, if we might just get this thought across also. Let us never forget that the salvation that you and I have in Jesus Christ cost something.
Amen.
We don't have a cheap salvation. Jesus suffered for us because of our sins. He shed his precious blood. It cost something. And he did that by himself. You remember the scene on the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? By himself, he paid the sin debt. Purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I'm saying today, friend, he's so precious he cannot be matched. You see, miss him? If you miss him today, my friend, you've missed the only salvation possible. The Bible says that neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's precious. You see, if you search eternity over, we go out to be with the Lord, and you search eternity over, friend. And if we're privileged enough, as I believe that true Baptists who've been faithful to the God of the Word will be, to be in the bride, and we dwell in that city, holy city, New Jerusalem, and we search that city over, you'll never find anyone or anything as precious as the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, he's precious because he cannot be lost. We Baptists like to preach about security of the believer. And he cannot be lost today. And as a result of not being able to lose what God has done for us, having the salvation that he's bestowed upon us, he becomes precious. We look in the Word of God and we've seen in John 10 the teaching and the doctrine of eternal security of the believer. We go back over to Hebrews chapter 6 and we read the same truth over there, that it would be impossible for Christ to go back to Calvary and make another atonement for sin if we could lose that which God has given us by his grace. He's precious, friend, because you can't lose it. That's security. That's security. He's precious because he cannot be destroyed. Satan and all the forces of evil can't stop him. They tried to thwart him and stop him from going to Calvary, but they couldn't do it. Satan tried to get him to jump when we could see off the pinnacle of the temple, and he wouldn't do it. You can't tempt the Lord thy God, he said. You see. And so we could go on and on, but they couldn't stop him. He came for that reason, and he fulfilled. If you go to John 17, we find the fact that he says in his prayer of intercession to his heavenly Father that he did all that the Father had sent him to do.
Amen.
And I believe, friend, when he bowed his head on the cross of Calvary and gave up the ghost, when he said it is finished, it means every jot, every tittle, everything is complete. Nothing more needed to be done. Jesus did it all.
Amen.
Everything that God would have him to do, he did. And therefore, unto you that believe, I say this, he ought to be precious.
Amen.
To me, he is precious.
Amen.
And I know to most of you, if not all of you, he is precious. All right, so precious is he then that he cannot be bought. My friend, so precious is he that he cannot be matched. He cannot be priced. He cannot be destroyed. And he cannot be lost. But then get this with me quickly. Four quick things I want you to see too. He's precious from the service that he does for us and what he does for us. Let me say it that way. There's four things quickly that we can say that he does for us. We have life in him, do we not? We have light, okay, as a result of trusting him as our Savior and having the Holy Spirit of God indwell us. We have love. That's what Brother Hancock and I were talking about very briefly this morning together. And then, friend, we have liberty. Have all that in Jesus Christ, and as a result, he's precious.
Amen.
You see, if we look in the Word of God, again, go back with me to John chapter 1, if you will, please. John chapter 1. You find anything more precious than this, I'd like for you to tell me about it. I'd like to know that. Because I believe these are precious things that we have through him who is precious. You think about this now then. First of all, life. Our life. The very life, our physical life, is in him, is it not? Does not the Bible take us back to the very dawn of creation? And the Bible said that the triune God gathered the dust of the earth and made man, and tells us that he breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul, if you please. So our physical life is dependent upon God.
Amen.
Upon him who is precious.
Amen, brother.
I'm telling you about the next life. This life that we've been made to realize and to understand and have been a partaker of. The spiritual life, the new birth as a result of him. Life comes from him. And so the Bible tells us in John 1:4, in him was life. Life that you and I have, that we can go into glory one day, having been made to realize that we were lost and trusted in him, repenting of our sins and believing in our hearts in him. In him was life. And I'm saying as a result of that, he's precious. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And so, friend, as we think about it, what a precious thing life is. How sick and depraved, how rotten and wicked man is to snuff out life the way that they do. How in this world can someone be as wicked as they are and use supposed intellectual means to reason in their peanut brain that they have a right to control their body and have a right to snuff out the life of an infant born of baby that hadn't been born is beyond me, except that they're depraved and wicked. They had to, if they have a control or a right over their body, they had the right, my friend, to abstain from that sin to begin with. That is right. What a precious thing that life is. Let us recognize that. It was here just 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half, or whatever it was, just a mile down the road from our house. We didn't even know it. It was an office building. And there one night somebody came in and they found that they had a dope den there, and they had 3 guys laid down on the floor, and they killed all 3 of them. Snuffed out their life just like that. You say, that's the way it is. It's like that all over, friend.
Right.
Some people say, well, that's the way it is up north, but that's the way it is out east or west. It's like that all over.
Amen.
There's no regard for life. Life is precious. It's given to us by a holy God, if you please. So, friend, today we look in God's Word again in the John the 11th chapter, and we see this life that we have through Jesus Christ is precious, if you please. Not only do we have our physical life, but, friend, we have that spiritual life. We have the new birth through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. If you please, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I hope you believe this today. If you don't believe that, you don't have it. You must believe that he is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus said again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm saying, friend, today, life is in Him and He's precious.
Right.
We have life through Him. You see, John chapter 10 then, in verse 10, the Bible said this, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, have it more abundantly." John chapter 5 and verse 40, He said, "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." And we look in God's Word, we understand then, my friend, the truth of the doctrines of grace. And Jesus preaching again and teaching again in John the 6th chapter teaches over there, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." If God in His grace and if God in His mercy had not in His working of grace come to us, friend, we would have never come to Him.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's where it's all at. It's all put in there very nicely and very neatly. And I like that teaching over there in John 6, by the way. He teaches them about life, and folks didn't like it. He taught the doctrines of grace there, didn't he? And some left and never followed him again, the Bible says. Jesus went to the spokesman for the group. Old Peter, oftentimes, you know, he put his foot in his mouth. But sometimes he said some good things, didn't he? Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Will you also go away?" Not like this. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?
Amen.
Thou hast the words of eternal life."
Amen.
Friend, He's precious.
Amen.
Boy, He's precious.
Amen.
He's the bread of life. Then the Bible tells us also that He's light. I got to thinking about this, and I put this in pen the other day, and I told our church this. Till Jesus Christ came into my life, I groped in darkness.
Amen.
See, I can't stand before you today, as some of you might be able to, and say, "I've never touched a drop of alcohol in my life," because I have. But He's precious. The Bible said, "I love darkness rather than light, and my deeds were evil." But He's precious. He put within my heart and your heart a desire to be here in this conference to worship Him who is precious. And our prayer in our lips ought to be that He ought to be pleased with our worship. He's precious. And it ought to mean something that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know what? Listen to me. It's one thing to call yourself a Baptist, and many people do. But friend, today, it's another thing to be all that Baptists are supposed to be. This Bible has always been our rule of faith and practice. Some Baptists, or they call themselves that, have forsaken it. If Jesus is precious to you today, we can go back to the prophet of old when he said, "Ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls."
Amen.
If Jesus is precious to you.
Amen.
He's light. He's light. We never had true light till we met Jesus Christ. He's the real light, if you please. We have no heavenly light apart from the light that Jesus brings. That's the kind of light that we have, and that light is in Him. If you please. There's no hope and no light in the convicted dead sinner until he receives the atonement that Jesus made for his sins. Apart from that, there's no light in him. There's no clear knowledge of the way of salvation until God in His grace, until Jesus brings the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If we don't have that, we don't have light. You see, He's precious then because He brings us from darkness to light. Now quickly, two more things I want you to see, if I may. He's precious because he brings us love. Now, I'm not talking about the sickly sentimentality that some want to preach about. I'm talking about real love. I'm talking about agape. Talking about what he talks about when he asks Peter over there in the book of John in the closing verses of that chapter in the last book of the book of John. And he looks to Peter and he said, "Do you love me? I mean, do you really love me?" Notice what he said. Let's go back over there. I'm talking about this kind of love. The Bible teaches us this, you know. It says we love him because he first loved us.
Amen. That's right.
You see, I'm talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about a kind of love, friend, today that the Bible said that we have for one another, as we talked about this morning, brother.
Amen.
That comes as a result of knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. That comes as a result, and one of the things that come as a result of that love is that we bear one another's burdens.
Right.
We pray for one another. We love one another. We care for one another. You missionaries, we care for you. I want you to know that.
Amen.
More than just talk about it, as few as we may be and as small as our church may be, we try to support mission work because we believe in it. I believe that's what our responsibility
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
I believe not only then are we support mission works, but we ourselves are to be missionaries if we love him who is precious. You see. Notice what he said here then in John, the 21st chapter and the 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. There's some precious young ones out there, aren't there? They need special help at times in prayer and care. I tell you what, we had a young couple just join our church, 21 years of age, just here the other day. There was some question about their baptism. Some places I might not be able to say what I'm about to say. We couldn't take them as members because of the question of their baptism. Without any reservation, they said, well, we want to follow the Lord. We will be baptized. We baptized them. They come and they ask questions. They're so tender, these lambs, that want to know what the Word of God has to say because He's precious to them. Jesus means something to them. And they want to know. You know, some folks get saved and they've been saved for a few years and they get to the place where they think they know it all. Nobody needs to tell them what to do. But I tell you what, friend, today the Word of God has more to say about how we are to live after we're saved than how to be saved.
Amen.
And He has that right because we're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility. And if we love Him, we'll feed the lambs. But now notice, He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? Now we won't get into the tenses of the Greek here and the verb there if we will, friend, but suffice to say that he got down to the deep, rich word agape, meaning real, genuine, deep love. And then he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Several years ago, I sat with Brother Clark in a conference, and he pointed out a great truth from that passage of Scripture, that sheep want to be loved, and the shepherd wants us to love him, and that sheep gather in flocks. And brethren, what are we but the under-shepherd of the flock, are we not? And is it our responsibility then, if we love him who's precious, to feed the sheep? That's my response. I'm preaching myself now, see? But it's our responsibility as preachers or pastors to care for the flock. So that's part of it.
Love Him today. Do you love Him? He's precious.
Amen.
We love one another. I say this, what love He brings into our hearts when He comes into our lives. And then lastly, friend, I want to say this, and then we'll close. He's precious because He gives us liberty. I have liberty today. Not the kind that some preach about, but I've got liberty the kind the book talks about.
Amen.
You see, He who is precious to me released me from that yoke and bondage that I was under. That old sin. I'm not perfect, friend. Far from it. But one day I'm going to be perfect. One day I'll have a body just like His body. And that's part of that thing about grace also. But He gave me liberty, and I have that in Him today.
Amen.
I've been set free today.
Amen.
I have liberty. And friend, there's no greater liberty than when God in His grace emancipates our soul and sets us free and sets our feet on the solid rock.
Amen.
And establishes our goings. Gives us a new heart. Puts a new song in our heart. It gives us a love for the things of God. And gives us a dislike for the things we used to love before God saved us. That's liberty. And let us never, friend, come to that place and time where we think because we have liberty, we can serve God any way we please. Because we don't have that kind of liberty. We don't have it. But I still have liberty.
Amen.
I can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that's liberty.
Amen.
That's
Amen,
liberty.
Brother.
So what should we do? First of all, we have like precious faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And as a result of knowing Him, we have some precious promises given to us. And unto you that believe, He's precious.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.